Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop the QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. It always feels good to be giving it on a Friday.
It does.
Feels good to be back in the swing of things. Now the second one we're doing again, yeah. And it's, we're back at it. How are we doing, Fran? Oh, wait. First, before I... Please don't tell me how you're doing yet, okay? Hold on to that.
I will hold on to
and
it.
And make it a good answer. Because first, we're going to be talking about Dat Chat, which is our new presenting sponsor. And we are loving Dat Chat. I know sometimes when we talk about things, they're like, are you really loving it? No, we really are loving Dat Chat. I think it's a really great platform, new social networking app that we are all using here at Barstool. And of course, we have our groups. We have the Chicks in the Office group that you can join. You can join the Cutting Stems group. And it's kind of like an open forum discussion. You could talk about our show. You could talk about other shows that you're watching. You know, you could talk about things you're interested in, and then maybe other Chicks in the Office listeners are also interested in that, and you guys can create friendships out of it. I think it's a great place for people to just like let their thoughts out there. Also very important, you can't screenshot anything. You could set the time for how long you want your comments to be available to other people. And also you can private message with people and say you're, you know, you're talking to somebody, you're flirting with somebody, maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're not, you're sending risky texts, sending risky pictures. We've talked about the cloud before. Yep. It'll get you. Go on Dat Chat and send whatever the fuck you want, because it cannot be saved.
And I am going to give a disclaimer, because I know I saw some of this in the Cutting Stems group. It is a new app. So, like, for me, I don't have it set so that I can will accept private messages, because you just, like I said, you don't know what people are going to send you. Unless, like, the way I think people should use it is, like, you could have your friends for private messages, people you really know. And then you can join the groups and talk and, like, meet people and have fun.
Yes.
And then when, like, you can go into your settings and set it so that only people that, like, you're friends with can send you private messages. I recommend turning that on.
Yeah, don't talk to strangers unless you want to.
Yeah.
That's my advice. So you could shut that off, and then you can accept people that you only want to talk to.
Yep.
I have to do that, honestly. I have not done that yet. I get a lot of random messages, which is not smart on my part.
Oh.
But I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure I do that. It's a lot of fun, especially when we watch The Bachelorette. We're getting our takes off in there, and it's just a fun place to just free thought, whatever. Nobody's screenshotting anything. And I think it's a lot of fun, because I feel like now on the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, things live on, and it could be a dangerous place. And on Dat Chat, that does not happen. So go download Dat Chat, add our groups if you're interested. We want people talking about the show on there so we can know what you guys are into, what you're not into. Don't be too mean. Like, if you really hate us, like, don't write how much you hate us. I would expect if you hated us that much, you wouldn't be listening to this show. But we will be reading it. So, be kind. But also...
Be gentle.
Be gentle, but get your thoughts out there. Fran, how are we doing?
Oh, no. I forgot you were going to ask me.
I told you have a good answer.
And I had a good one, and then I forgot it.
Yeah.
I know. And I now got nothing. It was a long week, but I feel accomplished this week. Good. I think we got a lot done.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of interviews. Was out doing a bunch of stuff. I saw Wicked last night. on Broadway. I have seen it before, but like when I was little, I think like middle school, maybe I went to go see it. So it's been a long time. Great show. Great show.
Wicked is awesome. I haven't seen it in a while, but
I
it's good.
I really, really do love Broadway shows. I just think they're so fun. Just because I'm a musical gal. And the Defying Gravity is a top five Broadway song like of all time, I think.
You think
like
so?
when she rises up in the air and goosebumps every time. The girl sitting next to me was very cute. She definitely like either was a massive Wicked fan or just like loves Broadway. But like she was wiping tears. I could see her singing behind her mask. She was very into it. She was laughing really loud at all the jokes.
As she should be.
Yes.
And
it was great.
A lot of people haven't been to a Broadway show in a while.
Do you have snacks when you're there?
You can. Unfortunately, right now, there's no eating or drinking in the...
That sucks.
Because of COVID. Like, because you have to wear your mask during the performance. So, like, you can... This is why, you know, like, you go to a football game, it's open air, and, like, they say, you know, you wear your mask, but you can also... You know, if you're actively eating or drinking, they say it's okay. Theater's such a small space and so many people. And, of course, the actors can't wear masks. So it's in order to protect the people that are on stage that we're not, like, you know, throwing peanut M&Ms in our mouths. And so, yeah, that was a little disappointing. I'm not going to lie. We went up and we're, like, ready to order my red wine and my peanut M&Ms and go sit down. And the guy was like, you have 8 minutes before, like, just and then you got to go into the theater. I was like, ah, shit, never mind.
That's one of the best things, getting a little wine and getting a little snack for
the
show.
It was a beautiful theater. I love that, like, people, like, I hope people do start going back to shows because they really are so great. I saw this guy in he had red sequin sneakers on, like, his ruby.
He was ready. He was ready for Broadway.
He was ready. And it was really good.
That's
really
awesome.
I love going to Broadway shows.
I had wine in my shower last night, something I've never done before.
Wine in the shower is great. I have gotten my friends for, like, you know, Secret Santa, like, gag gifts where you only spend like $20. The little holder, like, you can get like one of the suction cup things to stick on your shower wall that holds the wine glass.
Yeah, I need that now. Yeah. I had one of the more terrible weeks I've had in a while. Like, I feel like every time I get on this podcast, I'm like, life's great. I'm happy as can be.
Yeah.
I had a bad week. I was very angry this week and in a bad mood. But
it was a tough week.
It was a tough week for me, but things are looking up now. I'm actually in a great mood today. I had wine in my shower last night. The weekend is coming. I do feel...
Ever since the wine in the shower.
It really put me over the edge.
Have you ever had, like, outdoor shower, have a beer in the outdoor shower?
Oh, I've done that before. Yeah, that's refreshing. But, like, to just genuinely pour a glass of wine and go in and take a shower was, like, something I just... I was alone.
Bath? No bath?
I actually did do that in Florida last year. I had some wine.
I feel like with
bath.
Wine, it's easier, like, if you're sitting down.
Right.
Like.
No, it was,
are you
like
a bath person?
Not at my own house, even though I have an incredible bath there. They're overrated.
A bath person. Yeah. Like.
They're pretty overrated, but we accomplished a lot this week.
Yeah.
So I do feel good about that. We're going to have a great weekend. Thanksgiving's next week, which has been haunting me, because if you've been listening to this show since last Thanksgiving, last Thanksgiving was terrible for me, like, just so bad in all ways, shapes, and forms. And we talked about it last night with my family, and they
bad
were
Thanksgiving
yeah,
last year.
They were just like, "Can you not ruin Thanksgiving this year? Like,
maybe take it easy on Thanksgiving, huh?"
They literally had this talk with me last night. They said, "Can you just not ruin Thanksgiving?"
Yeah,
and I said, "Absolutely, I will not ruin Thanksgiving this year. I'm in a way better place. Like, that's not going to happen." I actually told the story the first time to a few people here that just, I guess I never told it to them or whatever, the other day, and they were genuinely terrified, because I feel like when I talk about the story, I left out, like, some details. One of the weirder things that have ever happened to me, for sure.
I feel like you're Kevin McAllister.
Of my family. yeah. Pretty much.
That is so true. We'll do, like, do you want to give the... I'm not asking you to tell the whole story again, but maybe just the cliff notes, because
cliff
people might have missed it.
If you've missed this story, yeah. I ate an edible on Thanksgiving last year. And by the way, I haven't talked about this on Chicks in the Office. I talked about them because we got high. I've been smoking a lot less recently, yeah, too, just because, I don't know, I just feel like I... Not that
to be
I
honest,
should,
you just... Not even that you should, it's just I feel like you've been busier.
Yes.
Where, like, it's not even... Like, of course you could, but it's like you're busy and you're going from thing to thing to thing. And then when you finish all the things, you're like, oh, I didn't smoke at all, and I'm, like, fine.
Right. And it's been great because at the end of my night, I will maybe smoke. And yeah. And if I do, it's like one or two hits. It's not like a full thing like I usually do. And I don't in the morning anymore. It's just because I'm busier and I'm keeping myself distracted. Think, and I think that I used to just smoke all day long because like I wasn't that happy. Yeah,
when we were working from home too, it was so easy to
just
constantly.
All the time. So recently I just really haven't been smoking as much as I did and I feel great about it. That's why Thanksgiving will not be the same as last year. But I had an edible on Thanksgiving last year. My sister gave it to me and it was just far too much. I didn't know the milligrams and it was like way too much. And I fully had a full on panic attack. My aunt's a doctor. She felt my wrist. She was like high 100s, almost 200s. Like you're like genuinely having a heart attack right now. And I had a very, this is going to freak people out. And it's what freaked me out a lot. And I promise you I'm okay. And this is right after this, I got a therapist because this was like really insane. I was so high and I felt like I couldn't control my body that I was sitting in my backyard near the fireplace and like a happy but creepy song was playing, like happy together, you know,
I can't see me love.
That song was playing and I thought in my head,
makes me think of Freaky Friday.
Yeah. Or The Stepfather with Penn Badgley and Amber Heard. And
they play the creepy version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was sitting.
I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life.
And he meets the other family and he's ready to kill them again. So that was playing and I was sitting in the chair in my backyard and I was genuinely gripping my chair being like, if I wanted to right now, I could get up, go into the kitchen, grab a knife and stab my family.
Like, oh my goodness gracious.
I know, it's crazy, but that was a thought that I was having. It's not that I, that sounds like
not
I-
Not that you wanted to.
No, I didn't want to, but it was
I've had thoughts where it's like, it's crazy that like, even if you're just holding a knife, you have the power to end someone's life.
Oh, true. Yes, just like, it was one of those. It was it was like, I couldn't stop thinking about having the power to do that. I did not want to, but I was like, I could do that right now. Yeah, and it's freaking me out that I could do that. And it just sent me into a spiral. My family threw me into the shower, going from hot to cold water. Like, oh, it was a whole big thing. And then I had family at my house and they had to leave. And my dad was like, I'm so sorry. Like, she's not overdosing. Like,
because
I had younger cousins, they thought I was on like severe drugs because I was acting like a lunatic. Yeah. So this time of the year, like
probably
now.
Traumatizing for
it's traumatizing for me. It's like a weird time of the year for me now.
Are
like,
your parents allowed to host Thanksgiving again?
Oh, yeah, we're having Thanksgiving again this year.
I just didn't know if like there was a family vote where they were like, we're not going to them.
We're having Thanksgiving. It's just Big Rhea's not allowed to partake in any sort of drugs. Yeah, or I'll have wine or whatever, but it's a weird...
You'll only be overdosing on mashed potatoes, am I right?
Yeah. It's just a weird time of the year for me. I like start thinking about how bad of a place I was in, but it feels great to be in a great place now. It's just so crazy to think about, like, because I remember the
next
day.
I'm having like a weird, like, I can't believe this year is like over.
And it also just feels like such a different lifetime. Like, last year at this time feels like, and I think because this studio is now our own studio, it didn't look like this last year. It's just things changed so dramatically in my life that it freaks me out a little
2020
bit.
2020 feels like a dream, like it didn't happen. And then we went from 2019 to 2021.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to talk about it more on Monday. Because I'm just going to save it because I feel like we can do more Thanksgiving talk. But I do want to say, like, in the terms of things happening, like, January's really not that far away. It's so nuts, but we're totally going into the swing of holiday stuff. And this is so off topic and is not even about Thanksgiving, but I'm going to change the subject because I want to save my Thanksgiving thoughts for next week. They are doing a Harry Potter reunion. It's coming out January 1st. Got announced this week. And we don't have to talk about it too much, but I just want everybody to know how excited I am for that. And Emma Watson is not very active on social media. And she posted this whole Instagram, you know, about how Hermione's favorite characters ever played, so important to her, and they're all reuniting.
It might have been our most shared Chicks in the Office social post. I saw Natalie from the Vlog Squad post it. And she shared our Chicks in the Office post about it. I was like, fuck you. Yeah. Obviously, Josie Canseco, but that's our girl. She always shares our shit. So thank you to that.
Honestly, but Natalie, I was like, whoa. For something so niche to be shared so many times.
It is. It is really crazy. Something so niche and particular that so many people care about it.
Truly, I'm not going to lie. I know, but before we do that, I just want to say, I giggle every single time I post something Harry Potter, like on my story or like Chicks in the Office does. Without fail, there are floods of people who just say, so niche. It just makes me laugh.
I feel like we need to make shirts that just say so niche.
It makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. Well, now that we're like referring to Noah a little bit, I like to jump in here. And this is the one thing I will say.
Yeah.
This is the one thing I will say. I know people were upset last week with Noah about the Taylor Swift, Jake Gyllenhaal conversation.
And actually, that was this week. But yeah.
It was this week. Sorry. Monday. Time's a blur. I want to jump in and say one thing. And I am not defending Noah's takes about Jake Gyllenhaal or Taylor Swift, but I will defend Noah's character and say that he is not a sexist, misogynistic pig. Noah is quite the opposite of that. I will say
we wouldn't employ him if he was.
We know Noah very well, and he is not like that at all. Yeah. I could promise you that. I want that on record, because as much as you're upset with his take, I don't like the people being like maliciously mean to Noah. It upsets me that people were writing that they feel uncomfortable. And that upset me. I was like, you don't feel uncomfortable around Noah. He's a great guy,
and he's just a devil's advocate.
Yes, he loves playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, he loves arguing.
He likes being inquisitive,
and he also loves pushing my buttons. So when I'm very passionate about something, he could not even agree with what he's saying, but he's going to say it because it's going to push my buttons.
Right. And for the sake of the podcast, it adds a little fun. Yeah. It adds something a little extra. Noah's a stand-up guy, and I just want that on record.
100%.
I was getting upset. I was like, this is the fact that they're like making him sound like an uncomfortable creep is bothering me because he's just not like that at all.
Not at all.
I'm glad we got that out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get into the topics. Okay. We got a lot of fun topics to talk about. We have Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello broke up. I said fun topics.
We got a lot of fun topics to talk about.
Well, here's the thing, and this is fucked up. I know it is, but when a big breakup happens and it lines up with the same day we're recording, we do get a little giddy about it.
I texted the group when you guys were talking about it. I saw it when I was leaving Wicked, and I was like, damn, big couple breakup. It's a good thing we're recording.
Yeah, right.
Tomorrow.
Because when it happens, if they broke up on Friday, we'd be like,
right.
Fuck.
Or when it happens on a Monday, it's like then we have bachelor stuff, and then Friday comes, and it's like, it's not, it doesn't hit as hard.
Yeah, shout out Shawn and Camila.
I was going to say, thanks, Shawn and Camila. We'll also talk a little bit about Kaya Gerber and Jacob Elordi breaking up in that as well. Pete Davidson celebrated his birthday with Kim Kardashian, Kris Jenner, and Flava Flav. And Hannah Brown released, she's coming out with a new book, and she released a little story about Peter Werber that we will talk about as well. And Drake and Kanye have reunited, and the internet was shocked, but also not at the same time. Like, who knows what's going on with those two?
I will talk about it, but like, Justin Bieber was so hyped about that, he literally tweeted out the picture. like, not even just Instagram. He went to Twitter.
It's really...
which he rarely uses. Yeah, to just post them and write, like, love this.
It's really funny when you see other huge, big-name stars get excited about seeing the same things we do.
Yeah.
And then we have a great interview/conversation with Hannah Berner. I wouldn't call it an interview, but it was a lot of fun, and I think you guys will really enjoy that. So let's get into it, starting off with Shawn and Camila.
The one thing I have no time for, cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it.
You hate cooking.
I hate cooking.
You despise it.
I hate cooking. I'm not good at it. I don't like it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello have officially announced their breakup on Instagram on Wednesday night. They did a joint Instagram story together, obviously. And I thought that this announcement was a little bit different than any other breakup announcement we've had.
I liked it because even though I'm kind of anti when they just post the same exact thing, it felt like it was actually written by them. You know, it was more casual. It wasn't like, we have an announcement and we are amicably splitting. Like, it was like, hey guys, we've decided to end our romantic relationship, but our love for one another as humans is stronger than ever. We started our relationship as best friends and will continue to be best friends. We so appreciate your support from the beginning and moving forward, Camille and Sean.
Now, do
short and sweet.
Short and sweet, but questions here. Yeah. I honestly, I didn't think these two were going to, like, really, you know.
I went back and forth. When it first started, it was like, no. Mm-hmm. And then after, like, a year, I was like, maybe.
But everyone after a year, you're like, maybe. They made it to a year. Who knows? Yeah.
And then now it's so easy to go back and be like, ah, we knew they were never going to last.
Right. I wouldn't say we knew that they were never going to last, but do you think that that is a real statement that they will continue to be best friends? Because I don't think it is possible to continue to be best friends with somebody that you genuinely, like, love in a romantic way. Like, I think it's hard to be friends with somebody that you really like. Unless they just genuinely both don't really like each other anymore and they could just be friends. You know what I'm saying?
But that doesn't make sense then.
No, like, no, but it would be like,
if you really wanted to spend time with him, wouldn't you just stay dating?
No. But you can, this is the thing. You can be best friends with your boyfriend or girlfriend and slowly lose the romantic, like, sexual side of it.
Yes.
But still really be best friends. It's like when people joke that your boyfriend or girlfriend, it just turns into your roommate. Mm-hmm. And you're like, where's the tension? Like, am I attracted to this person? Like, we've just kind of become best friends. So for them, I feel like potentially it could be possible. They were such good friends before. The only thing that is going to matter so much is time. Like, I think down the line, of course you can be friends. But right off the bat, you're not going to be friends. You're not going to be chatty. And as soon as one of them starts dating someone else, the other one's going to be butthurt. Like, there's no way that they can, you can just, like, Sean's not going to be like, hey, bestie, just went on a date with so-and-so. Like, no, that's
unless
not going to happen.
You truly do not have feelings for that person anymore.
Right, unless all sexual chemistry, unless everything is out the door.
It's one Harry Mazzelli.
Yes.
If everything is gone, then, you got, like, fully, you could be friends.
Yeah.
But if... No, like, if you still, like, get jealous, I would put it that way. Like, if thinking about that person with somebody else makes you jealous or mad, there's no way you're going to continue to be friends.
No.
Especially best friends, like besties. Like, all right, Sean and Camilla, you guys aren't besties now. That's not real.
Yeah.
So I think it was a perfectly fine, obviously, they don't owe us anything. Like, tell us however you want, but... I wonder what happens from here. I'm going to be honest.
You know,
like, I'm interested in what happens.
Can I say I'm more interested in what romance-wise, like relationship-wise, where Shawn Mendes goes.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah. And also on top of that, they had so many songs together. We're going to lose that. I feel like they always had great collabs.
They're besties. They're still going to perform together.
They're not collabing.
They're fucking besties.
More slow walks around the neighborhood.
Who knows? I'm more interested to see where Shawn Mendes goes as well.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Camila Cabello fan. It's not that I don't like her or overly like her. I just really, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not as intrigued as I am with Shawn Mendes.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know, it's tough because Camila Cabello, music-wise, like, her music is so huge. Mm-hmm. And she is a star. But I put Shawn, like, I think Shawn Mendes is more.
Yeah, it was one of those TikToks she had that just, like, oh my God, I think everyone could remember it, right? There was one TikTok.
I like some of her TikToks.
No, there was one TikTok
that was.
No. There was one TikTok that was genuinely one of the worst videos I have ever seen. And now I gotta find it. Is that not one of the worst things you've ever seen? Come on. Come on.
I don't have a strong emotion to that.
You don't have a strong emotion to that TikTok?
Weird.
All right. I wish I didn't have a strong emotion to it, but I do. I have a very strong emotion to it. I hated it.
And, I mean, it's High School Musical.
I like High School Musical.
Yeah.
She fucking murdered that song.
Yeah, I don't know what she was doing to that.
I'm trapped in the spot.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Oh,
definitely weird. But
I don't hate her. I just hated that video.
No, definitely weird. That is the That's the end of Camille and Sean.
That's it.
We're not going to see them wearing matching outfits. We're not going to see them performing together on stage. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
It's also the end of Kaia Gerber and Jacob Elordi.
Yeah. Also one where it's like they're just too young, you know?
I wasn't shocked by this one. A lot of sightings of Jacob and Kaia separately at things that they probably should be together if they were a couple. So I feel like we saw that coming.
She deleted all of pictures with him on her Instagram. And Joey King is in a relationship. But
no.
They were ever going to reunite.
No.
Kissing booth 4.
I've had enough kissing booths. I think we've gotten enough kissing booths. I think. Would you agree? No.
Did you ever watch Kissing Booth 3?
No, but do you know that The Kissing Booth is like my sister's favorite movie? Like
the first one. She loved that one. I remember when it came out.
She'll text me randomly and be like, I really think this is one of my favorite movies ever. And my sister is a like movie connoisseur. She likes a lot of old-time movies, like black and white movies. Yeah. Like she's seen it all.
And she loves
Kissing Booth. For some reason, she just loves The Kissing Booth. And that's one of those movies she would make fun of us for watching because she refuses to watch High School Musical because she's like, thinks she's better than it.
Yeah.
The Kissing Booth, though, loves it.
Kissing Booth 3, yeah. You never watched it. What's his face? The friend, and I'm forgetting all their characters' names. Is like the worst character in movie.
Like, I remember you talking about this.
It's just like, just let her date and stop being such a freak about having to go to college together. Great. I don't know. Anyways, it reached like a very weird point. It was like, you got your own girlfriend to worry about, dude. Like, anyway.
Jacob and Kaia are done.
The possibility could still be there. And I feel like we have not seen him. Like maybe because Euphoria hasn't come back in so long, but I do think it's coming back soon. So that'll be big. But yeah, those two insanely beautiful young people who in Hollywood, not going to last. Too young and beautiful.
Yeah, there's so much to be had.
Exactly. Way too many people to flirt with, go out with. They're far too young.
That's all right. They'll be okay. Things are really getting serious with Pete and Kim. I hate to break it to you, friend. You were so wrong because Page Six has just announced.
Every episode, I'm just more and more wrong.
Right. Page Six announced that they are officially dating.
Officially dating.
Kim and Pete are officially dating. Fuck yes. I'm so hyped over this. And Pete Davidson celebrated his birthday with Kim Kardashian, Kris Jenner, Flavor Flav, and Kim and Pete were wearing matching Skims pajamas.
Like friends.
All of them.
A little bit. Right,
it does look a little bit like Friends Blazer, so she's matching with them too. But they're so in, and Dumois posted a little something that was like, look out for this new couple for like a triple date vacation.
Holy shit.
I'm thinking Pete. Holy shit. I'm thinking Pete, Kim, Travis, Courtney, Megan, and MGK are all going to go on a tropical vacation together over the holidays, and we're going to lose our fucking minds.
They're in, on Instagram, currently, it looks like Courtney and Travis are in Cabo. They've been doing a whole big Travis birthday celebrations. But yeah, some kind of holiday like New Year's Eve.
Pete and Kim will be the first to break up, but it's going to be a little bit.
They're going to go on a New Year's Eve trip.
They are. And all of them. And guess what? They're going to post a picture of all three of them kissing at the same time on New Year's Eve. Don't you think?
It's so possible. It's so possible. They're officially dating.
Lost my chance with Pete Davidson. Yeah. It's so far gone.
The news of their budding romance comes after several dates in Davidson's native NYC and Kardashian's hometown of LA. The King of Staten Island star most recently traveled to California for his birthday on Tuesday and spent time at the Keeping Up with the Kardashians alum's mom, Kris Jenner's Palm Springs mansion with Flava Flav. Flava Flav was the one to post this picture, number one. On his Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete, Kim, Kris are all in Skims pajamas.
Did they like the picture, any of them? Because I wonder if he got permission to.
Well, I said this recording the group chat. Like, I wonder if they took these pictures and never thought anyone would see the light of day. And it's like, oh, But then Flavor Flav
looked like a professional.
Can I tell you, that's an edited photo that Kim Kardashian knew was going up on Flavor Flav's Instagram.
You think?
Because she would, that picture, Kim Kardashian, obviously she looks great, but it looks like the picture was edited. Like,
why are they with Flavor Flav? That's why I don't know.
It just looks like a professional photo. Like, it looks like it was taken by a photographer.
Yeah, like a real camera.
Yeah, or whoever, someone has a real camera. The caption was, Flavor Flav, celebrating my adopted son Pete Davidson's birthday. And news, also, side note, just news that Pete Davidson and Flavor Flav are that close.
I don't know if he just, it sounds like they just met, though, and he's just, like, are being sarcastic.
Are you sure?
I feel like it. I feel like...
He's friends with Chris and Kim.
No, but he was like, oh, I never gave my clock to someone. That sounds
Pete,
like
Pete, I
just
never
met
took
him.
A clock off my neck to give to someone. You'll be the last person I do this for. It looks real good on you. Happy birthday. Hashtag Pete Davidson. Hashtag Flavor Flav. Hashtag father and son. Hashtag adopted. I think they knew each other.
I think it's a joke. Right? I didn't take that seriously.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
No, I know they're not
Flavor
really...
Flavor Flav is not his adopted father. But I think they... Do you think that they have some kind of relationship?
I'm sure they've hung out a couple times before. I've made some jokes.
It would be extremely random for Flavor Flav to just randomly be invited to Pete Davidson's intimate birthday at Chris Jenner's Palm Springs house.
I feel like Chris or Kim would be the connect, not him. But
I don't think so.
I think it's Pete knew Flavor Flav before.
I think it's Pete.
What a random friendship, if that's true.
I love every aspect of that picture. I love everything about Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson being together. Like, I think it can't get better than that. For, like, couples that you wish to see together in a universe that makes zero sense is Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian.
I feel like we're desensitized. Like,
for sure.
I say makes zero sense, but... And it's
Pete
one of those
Davidson
conversations
has changed
like,
it now where, like... Any people from Hollywood could start dating and we'll be like, sure.
Right.
And sure.
I do think that just Pete Davidson's a real likable guy. Clearly.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Did you see, I was scrolling TikTok and a video came up of Pete Davidson roasting the Jonas Brothers. Have you seen that?
Of who?
Roasting the Jonas Brothers.
Pete Davidson?
Yeah, it was like
he's part of the roast.
Yeah, yeah. But it was funny.
He's part of the roast. I'm trying to look to see if there is a, if there's any kind of... Me like if there's any kind of explanation for Pete Davidson and Flava Flav being connected,
like none of the Kardashians like that picture,
no,
or interacted with it.
I'm reading this article. It says Flava Flav seems to also be calling Davidson his quote adopted son, which prompts me to ask why. It's like why is right.
Honestly, kind of crazy that photo only has like 49,000 likes. I would have thought it would have blown up.
It has blown up, but I feel like it's blown up because other people have shared it. Like, I bet you that has, okay, so that has that many likes, but like now go look at like, did comments by celebs post a picture of it or no? Or like, I bet you did like E! News or something.
Yeah.
Let's see.
They did.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Yeah, that has 125,000.
Right, so... I guess if somebody could please give me an explanation of whose side of this relationship Flavor Flav is on, I would like to know.
I don't even know why we care so much about that.
Flavor Flav, in any room, I feel like it's like,
well,
he doesn't fit.
I feel like it's Flavor Flav. He can fit in anywhere.
I'm just looking for context.
He can fit in, but it's like, who do you know here?
Wait a second.
I have context on the photo.
I think I have context. I was watching a Comedy Central roast a couple weeks ago. An old one, Flavor Flav and Pete Davidson, both on it.
There you go. So you're on my side that it's coming from Pete.
I think it's coming from Pete, and I really think...
that's true, I believe that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back because I was watching a lot... I was, like, watching Best of Comedy Central roasts.
Is it Bieber?
No, I was just watching, like, a compilation of all, and I'm pretty sure Flavor Flav and Pete Davidson were on, and I think they made jokes together, if I'm recalling correctly. So I think it is a Pete Davidson thing.
Just unbelievable that... He is the one to post this picture of like
Blow up the internet.
Right. There were whispers that they had spent the birthday together and like, ooh, maybe they're at Chris's house in Palm Springs. But there was no evidence until Flavor Flav posted this picture of them. And just the fact that he's like
in the name of the father.
He's in the pajamas.
And in the name of the father, the son, and Flavor Flav.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in the pajamas.
So
together.
Good.
They're in matching PJs. Pete Davidson and Kris Jenner are matching PJs.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
Do you think he goes around the house calling her mom? I hope so.
As a joke? Yeah. Yes.
Like, as a joke.
Pete is definitely calling Kris mom.
Do you think he's starstruck ever? Like, or do you think he thinks to himself, like, wow. Like, yes. I'm with Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yes. I think 100%. I think even Kanye, when he was with Kim Kardashian, was like, wow, I'm with Kim Kardashian.
Like,
yeah.
Like, because he's not, he's our age. So, like, 10 years ago, Kim Kardashian was Kim Kardashian. Yeah. He was like a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure he says it to them. Like, I think that Pete's just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Good for Pete. Happy good for Kim.
Happy 28th birthday, Pete. Celebrated in style. Big time. Skim style. Crazy. Kim. You dog. I'm just, I'm happy for Kim.
I keep saying, like, so happy good for Kim.
I just feel like Kim's, it makes me think that things got dark with Kanye and it just, like, was not fun and there was no, like, laughter and, like, light in that time, that she just went for the polar opposite. Like, I'm going for the guy that's going to make me laugh 24/7 and, like, I can just have fun with.
And that is Pete Davidson.
Yep.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
These two reunited, Drake and Kanye, didn't see it coming. Didn't really think that this was something that was happening anytime soon, but they reunited in Toronto, apparently. They were at a Dave Chappelle show, and they're in the crowd. They went to dinner, posting pictures with each other. And, yeah, I guess we don't really have too many details besides the fact that they're hanging out.
Actually, I think that was at Drake's house Dave Chappelle was at.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
Dave Chappelle went, was...
They were, like, all at Drake's house.
But it looked like Dave Chappelle was, like, doing stand-up.
Yeah, no, but he was, like, he said, like, this guy, this Canadian, like we're all here, like, I think it was definitely at Drake's house.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I think that, I don't know, did Pete Davidson bring these two together? was it something they bonded over? I don't know what made them decide they were going to be friends, but... Listen, I think that...
It seems like maybe Kanye is trying to make amends.
Kanye probably feels like he doesn't want to get kicked out of this world.
Right.
So he's like, all right, let me start getting friends with everyone again.
Did he apologize to Soulja Boy?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is he...
It could be that. Maybe he feels like he burned bridges that he's trying to repair at this point.
Can't let Kim and Pete have all the spotlight. Yeah. He's going to reunite with an enemy to take over a little bit.
The only thing I care about, truly, I don't give a fuck if these two are friends, make music together.
Some
all-time songs are with Drake and Kanye. I think people forget that. Like, Forever is one of the greatest rap songs to ever exist. Like, those two together are so good that that's all I want. Like, don't even be friends. Just make an album together. Yeah. Kanye Drake album together would be, it would just blow everything out of the stratosphere. It wouldn't even be close.
I feel like all of those
I now have to bring up every song that they've done together.
Are on the table.
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I thought of.
Well, because think about this. When Meek and Drake were fighting and then they made up, everyone was like, they're going to make a song together. Oh, yeah. And what they do, they made a song together, Going Bad. It wasn't that good, but it was fine. Drake and Kanye, like, they just...
Did Kanye bleach his eyebrows? Is that something that happened?
I noticed something.
He, like, looked like he had no eyebrows in all the pictures. He's really experimenting with his looks.
That video was so funny. If you just listen to Kanye, Kanye's just like,
Like, they're both just like, Like, it's such a...
Drake, like, walked away, like, at some point.
The fact that Justin Bieber, like, screenshotted that video of, like, the two of them, I gotta go and look at the... I want to find... Did he say, like, this friendship or, like, love this or, like, it was something like that? Oh, I'm not Jeremy Bieber. I'm not Jeremy Bieber.
Are we talking about Justin's dad?
Yeah. Where is it?
He wrote...
Oh, he wrote Love to See It at Kanye West. At Drake. It's so funny. Love to See It.
I wonder what the initial, like, I wonder what happened.
Did you guys know that Drake helped Kanye write Father Stretch My Hands Part 1 and 30 Hours on The Life of Pablo?
Yeah, because remember in the diss track, he was like, Father had to stretch my hands out.
Yep.
Yeah.
all options are on the table here for these two, I feel like. And I'm not going to lie, I do think Kim and Pete might have something to do with this.
I think so, too. And here's the thing. I'd rather Drake and Kanye be friends than beef. I know that everyone likes a little good fight here and there. I'd rather these two be together.
Yeah. And I do think a lot of the, not necessarily the beef, because I know there's been tons of other stuff involved, but with Kim out of the picture now, at least kind of, I don't know. It's so weird because it's like, they're not divorced officially, and Kanye's talking about their marriage. She's dating Pete Davidson now. We're in, like, Kanye limbo.
Kanye needs friends. He needs support.
Any of that Kanye interview?
No.
But, like, they brought up, like, you know, the whole Versus thing where artists go against. He was like, him and Drake, like, that's a possibility that they would do that. And it's like, I wonder who would win. I feel like Kanye, but I don't know.
We're like, no, hold hands and make music together.
That would be unreal if they head to head. Like.
Yeah.
But remember Lil Wayne and Drake used to go, they had that tour when they went head to head? It was the Drake versus Lil Wayne tour. You don't remember that?
Well,
don't look at me.
I'm not as knowledgeable about Lil Wayne.
Don't look at me.
Drake and Lil Wayne did a versus tour together. Yes. And then they like performed the songs that they have together.
Yeah. It feels like just the beginning of something now that we're getting.
Start
of something new for these two. Yeah, it does. Can't believe we just used a High School Musical song to describe Kanye and Drake.
They would love that.
But it feels accurate. A little Bachelor Nation update. First of all, for us, Hannah Brown is back on Chicks in the Office next week. We're talking about her book. Rhea and I have read a majority of this book. We got access to it to do the interview. We can't talk about what's in the book because it's not out yet. And the episode comes out next week. She'll be on Wednesday's episode next week.
Really great interview, by the way.
Great interview. Now, of course, this is the timeline of things that happen. So she comes on, we do the interview. We have to save it till next week.
Yep.
But, you know, to promote books, as one does, her team gives outlets an excerpt to say, like, oh, buy Hannah Brown's book. Here's what's in it. Coming out November 23rd. And so the part that they put out, smart, juicy as fuck, is the part that Hannah and Peter had a reconnection of sorts after Peter was done with his season.
Yes.
So the timeline now is very blurry for a lot of people. Everyone's kind of confused. And everybody is reacting about this. And we talk about this with Hannah, but like Peter put out a podcast episode about it too. They didn't know like everything that was going to be put out. So like Peter's talking about it and he's like, I'd love Hannah to come on the podcast. Let's talk it out. Like, it's like, of course you would, Pete. He literally said this is probably going to be our biggest episode ever.
You need those numbers, Pete.
Like,
we get it.
He's like, this is probably going to be our biggest episode ever.
Ad dollars are falling short.
We're talking about Hannah. We're talking about Hannah Brown here.
And I'd like to say that and you guys will hear this, in the interview with Hannah, I refer to the story. We didn't know, like, all these articles came out after the interview, and we were like, fuck, but I refer to the story.
You'll know
what I'm talking about, because I say to Hannah, I say, there's a story about you and Pete that I think a lot of people will find very relatable, and that is this story that is now going around now. So, just a heads up, we recorded that interview before this all came out.
Right.
Now.
And so, it's for us now, for us to explain, our timeline is confused.
Right. It's like, what do these two have anything to do with it?
Everyone's confused by their timeline. But that's our timeline. But yeah, so, you know, this goes out and everybody's reacting, right? Like Kelly's liking comments and Hannah Ann posted a TikTok being like, trust your instincts, ladies. Like, it's
and she's
all
like,
these,
when the real tea gets spilled.
I just kind of want, like, sorry, Pete. I kind of just want like a ex-girlfriend roast.
I think it's like a John Tucker
Hannah
must
Ann,
die
Madison,
situation.
Hannah Brown and Kelly Flanagan to just like
that would be must watch, and Barb has to be there.
Oh, Trent brought up this idea the other night. Yes. He was like, I just want them to all have a reunion where it's just these girls,
those girls, Peter, Jed, Tyler,
yes, and Barb,
and Barb,
and Barb,
and Barb has to be there. And why not just for this time only? We bring back Chris Harrison.
I just
like for a one time only, we get Chris Harrison in and we just do this whole thing. Because
I would pay to see that.
Oh, I would. If they
Trent Lody was like, that is a pay per view event.
Right. If they put it behind a paywall, I would spend $69 on it. Yeah. I think that's like usually how much fight costs these days.
Yeah.
I would spend that money on this because holy shit, they need it. They all need to sit out and air every part, every timeline to make Peter look like a piece of shit. Because let me tell you, I don't want to go too in on Peter because I know he talks highly of us. He hasn't ever put us down. But I think this man has screwed over multiple women and I think they're all finding out about it.
It's like a little bit of a fuckboy.
And I think that this book is going to, I think Hannah Brown's book is going to blow up a lot of things.
You know what's crazy? Yeah. When he was on The Bachelorette as his contestant, everyone was like, oh, he's the nice guy. Like, he's the nice, everyone thought he was
a great guy. I know. And I just like, the book, we said it with Hannah, we're going to say it again. And if you couldn't tell from the fact she put this, like this story is the one that is now in the press, it's a juicy book. There's a lot
so
of good stuff
juicy,
in it.
Guys.
It's
so
like
juicy.
Actually going to make Rhea like read a full book.
No, I really will because we talked about this with her as well. A lot of times these Bachelor people, they put out a book or celebrities in general, right? They put out a memoir and you think you're going to get a lot of shit. And you do sometimes. You get a lot of juicy things. I think Jessica Simpson's was one where we were like, oh, wow, we learned a lot about her and John Mayer.
Yep.
And Demi Moore, I think that we learned a lot from her too. Mm-hmm. But there's sometimes when you read a book and you're like, well, this person did this for a money grab.
Right.
Hannah Brown's book genuinely has shit in there that everyone has been wondering and wanting to know about for a long time. And I really recommend people buy it and read it because if you're into this world,
you're gonna
go whoa, like you're gonna be like, wow, she really gave it to us.
Because there's stuff about everybody else too.
Yes.
Okay, so Hannah, I'm looking at the Bachelor data account, like made a whole like timeline, right? So Hannah finale, Jed breakup, Tyler C, let's get drinks. That's July 30th, 2019. August 2nd, 2019, Tyler spotted leaving Hannah's apartment. August 4th. Tyler spotted with Gigi Hadid.
Oh my God. The fact that that was 2 days apart.
August 2019, Peter and Kelly meet prior to Peter's season at a party at that, the wedding situation. Peter's season begins filming September 2019. September 2019, Hannah, after just spending a night with Tyler or whatever, hanging out with Tyler in August, Hannah crashes a date on Peter's season. Lots of tears, she wrote on the timeline. Tyler and Gigi break up October 3rd, 2019. Hannah and Tyler see each other at the People's Choice Awards November 10th, 2019. And then November 2020, Peter's season finishes filming. And then, so now we go to, that's November 2019. That's a typo. November 2019, Peter's season finishes. January 2020, Peter's season starts. Which is also when Peter and Hannah break up in January.
So lost. Wait, you said Peter's season starts?
Yeah, no. Peter's season finished filming November 2019.
Okay.
It aired on TV January 2020, but at that point, Peter and Hannah Ann were having issues.
Yes.
So then Peter and Kelly see each other at the Super Bowl, which she has said, you know, there was some flirtation. And then they're seen together at a club. That's all beginning of February. Hannah, and so this is where this story falls in.
Yeah.
Hannah, apparently, as Hannah Brown said, Peter was like, I want to talk to you. Things didn't work out with Hannah Ann. Then I tried to make things worth it with Madison, but I don't know where that's at. It's like, I'd love to, like, let's catch up. And that was after Dylan and Hannah G's engagement party. Hannah and Peter hook up after seeing each other at Hannah G's party. That's February 26th, 2020. So this is why, like, Kelly was, like, on her stories being like, I got to write a book.
If Kelly
because
Flanagan,
Kelly, the beginning
oh my
of
God.
February,
if I'm Kelly Flanagan, I'm pissed right
the
now.
Beginning of February, she had, like, was kind of reunited with him at the Super Bowl stuff.
Yes. And then quickly after that was when the world shut down.
So then February 29th is when Tyler's mom passed away. And so after that, early March, is when Hannah was spotted in Jupiter with Tyler.
Mm-hmm. And then everything shut down.
Quarantine crew.
And then Peter was at Kelly's in Chicago.
And what the date she has on here, and Peter commented, he was like, you're missing pretty good, but like you're missing some stuff. So who knows? Like, but this is what the public has, right? Maddie and Peter, like official breakup, was March 13th, 2020. So that's after the stuff with Hannah Brown. And March 14th, Tyler picks up Hannah at the airport. Bam, lockdown. She's in Jupiter. And then Kelly and Peter spotted in Chicago March 26th.
Head's spinning.
Head is spinning. There's really not a lot. It's very hard. It's honestly really hard to go
Tyler
through the whole
and
thing.
Hannah make that YouTube video? That was like during the quarantine.
That was almost after quarantine.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was... Oh, she has it on here. She's so good, Bachelor Data. Hannah and Tyler release YouTube title, What Really Happened, October 6th, 2020.
Damn.
A lot to take in. A lot. And
a lot.
And these ladies are going to speak. Yeah, they're going to start talking, because now that Hannah put this in a book and that book's going to come out, all their stories are going to come
out. Right. Someone give Kelly Flanagan a book.
Kelly Flanagan, come on the podcast.
She was like, you guys think I should write a book? Yeah, Kelly, you want to come back here and talk to us?
Kelly Flanagan, please come back on the podcast.
Yeah, we can come
back. As soon as the book's out, you come back on this.
Yeah, and yes, Peter does talk. This is a thing about Peter, right? Like, behind the scenes, I feel like he might be a little different. He does this stuff on the podcast where it's like, you listen, like, I listen to the clip, and it's like, yeah, you know, Hannah and I were together. And it's like, but he still only like says nice things. And it's like, I'd really love Hannah to come on and let's talk this out. It's like,
he's such a bullshit artist.
Yeah, oh man, but
it's going to be good.
Kudos, you know, Hannah Brown put a lot of her, like a lot of her side of things in this book. And we're going to see a lot of it. We're going to have to talk about it again once the book comes out, because there's even more. But this is what has been released so far. We have a great interview chat, whatever you want to call it, fireside chat with Anna Berner. But I want to tell you guys that I truly, and I think it's because we have been on the road a little bit, traveling, and... especially on nights that we're in the office late, we're getting a lot done. You know, I described my week. We were very accomplished, got a lot done.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
All right, everyone. We are here with a very special guest. We have Hannah Berner back on the podcast. Last time we recorded with you and Paige in another studio. Now you are in this studio.
Hell yeah.
Welcome back to the show.
What great energy. Thank you for having me.
It's a nice room, right?
Yes, and Rhea in her blazer makes me feel like she's going to fire both of us.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Sorry, we've been talking about Rhea's earring for the last 30 minutes.
Wait, did I just get fired?
Maybe. No,
it's because I've been causing a ruckus this morning.
The guys in the office still do that all the time, and that's like my favorite thing to be like, well, actually I'm Fran, but thanks.
And then you just walk away.
And then they're like, oh shit, sorry.
You are wearing a blazer today that it threw me off when I walked into work. I saw you in the radio room recording, and I was wearing another outfit, and I walked in and I was like, oh, Fran's in a blazer, and I immediately like took off my outfit, found all different things around the office, and put on a new outfit.
You're very intimidating. You're making everyone nervous
around you. So you're saying the catalyst for changing your entire outfit was actually this blazer?
It was the blazer. It was like...
What? Now I want to take it off.
No, it's a great thing. You think
Now I'm like, fuck.
You said it to her right when energy
she,
we need.
You said it to her when she walked in. Don't write this movie for her right now, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, this movie for you right now is like, you're like a boss businesswoman who's kind of like messy
in sneakers.
In her outside world, she's like a little bit of a mess. Mm-hmm. But when she comes to work, she's all buttoned up and something crazy happens. We don't know what yet.
She instills fear in everyone around her, but deep down she's working through some marital stuff at home.
Yeah, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But this is so funny because I went on a podcast in LA and I ended it with this long speech of like, I'm so happy you guys had me on this pod. I love this pod so much. I told my publicist I want to be on it, and then I said the wrong podcast name. Like, I just fucked up the name of the pod.
Do you know the name of our podcast?
Chicks in the Room?
Yeah, yeah. Nailed it. That's what we go with.
So
it's like, if anything, look right over there.
Right over Rufus.
It's like when when you were in school and you had a test and there was something like a map in the room and the teacher didn't cover it. And you were like, yes, let's not tell the teacher they didn't cover the map, and you have to fill out the map. It's right there, Hannah.
Hell yeah.
Well, so when you want to do that speech at the end of this,
great.
We got you.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Are you exhausted? You're just like nonstop on the move, I feel like.
I'm doing well, but I do want to say, people are like, oh, you're killing it. You're doing all these stand-up shows. I'm avoiding my own thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like when you're really busy, yeah, you have to check in on your friend to be like, you good? What are you running from? Mm-hmm. But I feel like when I have anxiety, my thing is I don't want to sit in it. I want to try to fix things and do stuff. And for my thing, I had like, I've moved on from a previous career of reality TV entertainment, which was so good to me. Kicked my ass out, and then I was like, I want to now find that next thing that brings me joy, and I've been working on comedy for a while, and now I'm like just fully immersing myself into it.
So fully. What are you running from?
No, I think
right, so let's unpack that.
Well, I think I'd gone through a while where like I didn't have creative control of anything and I didn't feel like I had a voice. So now like stand up is the ultimate like me just like stand up, say what everyone's afraid to say out loud. So I've been able to just kind of express myself full of like talking about insecurities, fears, demons, and finding the humor in it. And ultimately, being around people and making them laugh is what I love to do. And that sounds so corny, like, I just want to be a sad clown.
Right.
But I feel like when something happens, like you lose a friend group or you lose a job, you can kind of sit in it, or you could be like, oh, this door closed for a reason. And a lot of the times, if you don't close that door, you'll never know what that other opportunity is. But I feel like deep down, I wasn't actually that good at reality TV.
Well, I feel like now you're like when you were,
I disagree.
I disagree. We thought you were great on reality TV, honestly.
But if you need to tell yourself that to move on with your life, then that's totally fine.
Sure, totally you were fine. really bad at it.
You sucked, Hannah. So glad you left.
The drama wasn't interesting at all. We hated it.
Yeah.
But you just mentioned like losing like a friend group or whatever, and obviously moving on from Summer House, you lose that group of people. Obviously not Paige. You guys are very close. You got Giggly Squad and all that. You guys are doing your tour. But now you have, do you feel like maybe the audience and the people you're meeting outside of this and like doing the show kind of fills that void of like you're entertaining these people and you know that they like you and appreciate you?
Wow, that's a really good question. I feel like I've seen a transition of the kind of women that come to my shows. And I do have to say, the chicks listeners show the fuck up. And the chicks girls are always so smart, so funny.
They are.
And you guys are like reality TV savants. Like you understand it. So I have a lot of people that are a certain type of woman who is outgoing, smart. I'm just saying you guys are perfect and amazing. Yeah. And those are the kind of people that come to my show.
Thank you very much. Yes. And meeting people from our shows as well, we're so happy when we meet these girls that you can just tell are great people. Like they come up right away, and this sounds cheesy, but like you feel their energy and you're like, this girl is a good person.
Yesterday I was at a coffee shop and I see a girl and I like love her outfit and she looks like she has her shit together. And I'm like, ooh, I wonder what it'd be like to like talk to this girl over a martini and understand what's going on in her life. And she looks at me and she goes, Hannah Berner? Yeah, love your podcast. And I'm like, I think what I'm trying to say is when I'm walking down the street and in the Lower East Side and a bunch of like drunk bros yell, Hannah from Summer House. Right. It's nice. Like it's fun attention. It's a little jarring.
But
when I'm like in an elevator with a cool girl and she's like, hey, I love your comedy. That hits so different. Yeah. Just in a point where it's the people that like really
know
me.
And your shows are just you. You know, your shows are you. So it's not
very,
like,
exactly.
It's not like they like you within a group of people. They like you as yourself doing your own
thing. Or even
like
liking my friendship with Paige. And it's something that they've seen in a very unstructured, raw, like what you guys do. Like Paige and I just go.
Yeah.
There's no like narrative or thing we're trying to portray. So I've lost a lot in the last couple months in terms of like friends or fans or certain people that don't align with whatever, but I feel like I'm more connected to myself. And the people who like my shit really get me. And it's almost like quality over quantity.
Yeah, and I feel like it always finds its level, right? Like, even if you lose fans, you lose friends, you gain fans, and you gain more friends. Like, it's never like you're just going to lose everything.
Right? Well, the truth is, if everyone likes you a lot of the time, it means you're not being like fully who you are.
Yes, because not everyone likes everyone. You don't like everyone.
No.
Certainly not.
No. I mean, we love Franz Blazer. But does that
does everyone? Probably not.
We'll take a pull
probably
of the office.
Not.
But I find that with dating too, like I used to want to be so likable on a first date. And I just like everything's chill, everything's vibing. I love everything. I'm so laid back. But that you're just like every other girl playing that same game. But if you come in and you show some weird sides of you, you'll scare the fuck out of some people, but you'll also really mm-hmm. attract someone who likes you for you. So what I'm trying to say is, even though I didn't have like the perfect season of reality TV, I surprisingly had some people be like, I kind of like you, crazy son of a bitch.
Yeah, for sure. And also because it was real. For like, sure. I feel like people forget, and we talk a lot about this with reality TV, is that like, if someone put a camera on you 24/7, how mm-hmm. would you come across? Like, mm-hmm. everyone always wants to act like they would come across looking so perfect because they think they're right all the time. It's like, you really don't have yeah. any say of what's going out there.
Yeah.
They can make you look a certain way. And also just like, you're not always right. You're not always wrong. Like, people just always, when they like judge these shows, they think that they would act perfectly. And it's mind-blowing to me. Like, people think that they would always just be so likable.
Oh, or they don't even want to go there. It's so fun to judge you guys. Like, it's right, so right. fun yeah. to act above it. Like, we mm-hmm. Like, seeing someone do something fucked up and sit there and be like, oh, I would never. Yeah. But, like, did you see that? And it's like, bitch, 2 days ago you did the same thing with your
yeah.
friend.
Yeah. Or you did something way different that was also bad.
Like, yeah. Everyone does shitty shit. Yes. And it's funny because at first, I recently have been getting messages of certain types of people. People who are like, hey, I've been the brunt of that, like, group mentality friend group that decides, like, we're done with this person and we don't want to listen to them and we're just done. Mm-hmm. And people, or, like, we had a party group of friends that I got in a relationship and now, yeah, like, they yeah. don't vibe with me. I've also gotten girls who have been like, hey, I see myself in you and I don't fucking like it. Yeah. Or, like, hey, like, I've spoken up to, like, abusive guys in my life and I don't like that. And you were making me not like myself. And I've gotten some really introspective messages, or even people being like, hey, I want to be a comic too and I think I hated you, but now I realize I'm going to start a podcast. And I'm like, fuck yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I've almost learned about like friends and women, and I've also learned about myself, because my biggest fear was in the public eye ever like not looking perfect. Mm-hmm. I think that's everyone's biggest fear.
For sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I was really scared our last interview. I was in like defensive mode. I was in scared mode. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm not Satan, I swear.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of with you guys, like, I'm still here.
It's kind of yeah. the best when you like shed that version of yourself of like, I just really don't care what people think. Like, I'm just going to be
like
me.
The last time she was here too was like right before like,
the reunion.
Yeah. And we didn't know for sure like where, like if you were going to go back or not. Yeah. Like it was like kind of a limbo.
I think I like to call it, it's an ego death.
Yeah.
And ego is something that's like so fun. Yeah. And like reality TV is so ego, where like you love that people think they know you. They treat you like the Beatles because they like really get you, unlike some more unattainable celebrities. Right. Like you're like their best friend. And then you start to think of yourself like, I'm just everyone's perfect friend. Everyone wants to mm-hmm. be my friend. And then at some point, you realize that it's the highs and the lows are really inauthentic, mm-hmm. and people who love you and people who hate you, you can't take that shit to heart.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of learning lessons. Yeah, yeah.
Would you ever go back to a reality TV show? Not saying Summer House specifically, but just like any sort of reality TV show.
I love to entertain people, mm-hmm. and I think I don't like to like make any plans. I'm not like knocking on doors being like, hey, I need to do a new reality show. But I'm just kind of seeing naturally what I like to do. I've learned a lot about it.
Yeah.
I've like Googled some stuff and I'm like, why didn't I Google that before I filmed, you stupid bitch? Like I've Googled stuff about like
yeah.
patterns and like things they do, and I was like, you cocky bitch, you thought you were just gonna go in and
own them
and yeah. own everything.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm like you guys, where I like journalism, I like producing, so I had that mindset going
in. I don't
in.
Like journalism.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding.
You guys are primetime journalists. Yeah. You are the CNN of pop culture. Yeah. So I'm kind of open to all kind of entertainment, but right now I've been working on like an hour of stand-up and just trying to get better at it. Mm-hmm. And Giggly Squad's been really fun. So I'm just kind of going where there's positivity. And yeah. like, I do think I'm like a fighter. So like, I was going to fight to stay in any career. But sometimes the universe is like, bitch, you're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. it's a thin line between quitting and leaving what's not meant for you at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, both of you have dealt with I mean, I've had you both on Burning in Hell, both epic episodes. Great where you episodes. Both have dealt with having to leave a situation that didn't feel right, but you also feel like you're failing people.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all sitting here and we're breathing and healthy, knock on wood.
Yeah. It's always scarier than it actually is after the fact, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah. And also, despite the fact that like people talk about it on podcasts and tweet about it, like people don't actually care.
They don't. This is something I feel like people really need to understand. Like even in this place, I think a lot of people get really riled up, and including myself, I used to get really worked up about what people said. And we talked about this on your podcast. Now I'm like, when somebody writes a tweet or a comment, they literally just write that tweet or comment and then go think about whatever else they have going on. Like they're not thinking about you throughout the night going to, you're the one going to bed thinking about it. So
exactly. Yeah. And it's, you can kind of decide how you react to it, but it's hard because my anxiety before means like, okay, you need to fix something. There's clearly a problem if these people are upset about this. You need to fix yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize like a lot of stuff people do is to get their own attention.
And these people don't have thousands of people saying it to them.
No.
So
they don't have like that empathy of understanding both ways. But I've always been like this with my career path. Like I was in tennis, I was in sales, I was in marketing, I was in video producing, did reality TV, did podcasting, now I'm doing stand up and I'm kind of just like every 2 years I'm kind of like let's
mix it up. Let's mix it up.
But I'm very happy that I know that you guys are like a pop culture pod, and at first I was like, oh, I'm not in Summer House, like chicks might not be like interested in the tea anymore.
Oh my god.
I appreciate you having I mean, you have some great comics on all the time. So
we love having comedians on, and it's so much fun. And sometimes, like, what's fun, like, about kind of being able to pick our guests is we can pick the reality TV person or the actor or the musician or whatever, and it, like, has that has a different feel to an interview. Or we have a comedian who we can actually sit down and just, like, talk about life, you know? Because sometimes we don't have, like, you know, we don't have a musician on or something, and we're like, tell me how you are.
Yeah. You know? That's some of my
You good, bro?
Right. Some like, of my like, favorite
let's, like,
interviews.
Like, talk about your feelings, and we're just like, so even, like, you know, you got a new album coming out, like, tell us about it.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's also, just like,
I love thinking, like, oh, when was the last time I was on this pod? And in that time, I felt like so many people cared, and so many people had these, like, final decisions of, like, character and stuff, and it's like, we were immersed in a season of a show that has a storyline and shit
and
like that.
And that season was so intense, too, so I feel like it just escalated all of those things. But now, like, are you watching anything? Like, are you watching Winter House?
You guys, it's fucked up.
Do you have any time to even watch TV?
I'm that kind of person. I think it's because I have ADHD that I'm realizing through TikTok. But like at the end of the day, instead of going to sleep when I should, I need that like waste of time. Like, even if it's midnight, I need to watch an hour of like.
Need.
And I'm really into documentaries recently, but I loved reality TV, you guys. Like I loved it. Vanderpump Rules.
Well, that's
my
what I'm saying.
Ish.
Like you watched all the stuff. You talked about it. You did.
A whole show about it. I was on chat room or fucking I can't watch it
anymore.
It makes sense.
I might
though.
In a couple years but I have volatile reactions.
That makes sense.
It's I mean, tennis I had trouble watching when I first quit because I was like, I miss it. It's literally just like having a relationship and you get out of it and then you can't listen to any song you listen to during the time you dated. I'm just in that, but I hope to appreciate the mess in the future. I just know the kind of, I have a very different perspective watching stuff now where I have like too much empathy for like the person that's in the hot seat. And I'm just like, I hope they're doing okay. And like, do they see this coming?
Because you know what it's like to be on the other side of it and know that it's not all them. Like, there's so much that goes into reality TV. And I wish more, like, I think people get it, but I'm like, do you really get it?
I wish more people like patted the back of the person that was like, I'll sacrifice myself this season. Because when they cast, they're not like, let's cast six perfect human beings and a monster.
Right.
Every season there's a different monster.
For sure.
So I want people to watch it in a more like, wow, that's pretty cool that person is like, understood the assignment. And I think like you guys are good at that. And also just, there are reality TV moments that are so fucking real and like people's reactions, but you watch it because it's a car crash. But then don't judge people.
That's like Vanderpump right now. Yeah. Like Vanderpump, I'm still watching, but it's like without Lala, and people give Lala shit for like being aggressive or stirring the pot and all these things. I'm like, if she didn't do any of those things and like scream at Sheena across the table or like cry and say like, I care so much about you, Sheena. I'm like, just looking out for you.
Yeah.
Like, the show would be so boring.
I know.
Exactly. The show would be so boring.
We talk about that with The Bachelor. Yeah, Bravo
loves to be like, fire her. And I'm like, okay, let's watch like a baby sleep.
Right. Like, we're not tuning in to watch everyone get along and sing by a campfire. Like, and, I would turn that off. I don't want to watch that.
And also, remember that these people are not just like chilling. Like, if you're going to judge people, be like, okay, what would you do if it's week four, stuck in a house, and someone's been poking and prodding at you for four weeks that they haven't shown?
Yeah.
Right.
But they're waiting for the reaction. So it's like, it's a social experiment, and it's a fascinating thing for us to enjoy. And I'm so thankful for the experience, and I do think my family and close friends around me were a little happy that I'm away from it, just out of like it took a toll on the people around me
for sure. And now I feel like you have material for your stand-up, and you mentioned like we usually have like pop culture people on the podcast, but we do lately have had a lot of comedians, and I love having
you
comedians
had Heather McMahon on, who's
she was awesome, and we love having them on because it's so just funny. A fun conversation. Are there any comedians that you're specifically watching right now that you're obsessed with besides Heather, because she was awesome?
Oh, let me give you the tea of like the upcoming female comics we all need to watch. And I say upcoming, but they've been doing it for years. Annie Letterman.
Annie Letterman is my bitch. I swear to God, I like talk to her here and there, and
she's been on the show.
She's been on the show.
She is hysterical.
She is one of the funniest people I have ever watched do anything. I'm obsessed with her. Like, truly obsessed with her.
And I went on Trash Tuesday with Kalila and Esther Pavitsky. So those three, like, keep an eye on them.
Yep.
Taylor Tomlinson is killing
Very
the game.
Funny, yeah.
Definitely watch your comedy special. There's a lot of women, like Nikki Glaser has been a mentor for me, and it's been interesting surrounding myself with women who have like similar goals to me, which is basically like in stand-up comedy, because it's a male-dominated thing, you're doing things that like typically men do, which is like being assertive and like being inappropriate and like commanding a crowd, and being funny is even like a male characteristic. And I think in reality TV, when women do that stuff, it could be looked down upon because you're not fitting into the box of the role they put you in. I mean, I was called not feminine my whole first season. Which is absurd. But then I'm surrounding myself with women who are not trying to fit themselves in boxes. I mean, and you guys are a great example of that. Like, you didn't even have a box when you came to Barstool. No woman had shown you where you would fit in at Barstool, and you created it. So I'm very excited that I kind of didn't fit into a world that was trying to put me in like a typical feminine role. And I want it to become a feminine attribute to be funny, command the room, and be confident, and make people think deeper about stuff that women are afraid to say.
Yeah. I think it's great, and I feel like your shows are probably so much fun. When like, I just feel like you're always in New York, and yet we're not. Why are we not been to one of her shows?
Can you give us? Can you let everyone know how they can get to your shows right now?
Well, HannahBrenner.com.
Like, I'm
all over.
Push this out there.
But sometimes I feel like I'm looking at your Instagram. I'm like, okay, she's in Connecticut, and then Rhode Island, and then Florida, and then Ohio.
You guys, it's not
like, how are you getting all
It's not glamorous.
Places?
It's called Sky Miles. But like, I literally was in Tampa, and then I was in Orlando, and I have like a 10-minute joke where I just shit on Disney. And like halfway in, I was like, I'm in Orlando. And like, I even have
but it probably fit even better there because they really know what it's like.
I have a joke where I make fun of the suburbs, and they were like, there's no suburbs in Florida. I'm like, then what is it? And they're like, it's Florida. And I was like, you guys are fucking out. And you guys probably saw when you went to different places.
Oh, yeah. Different areas. Every crowd was different in their own way, which I think is awesome. But then you have to like realize which audience you're playing to.
Yeah. Like, I do a joke about finance bros, and in LA, they like didn't process
They're like, that doesn't hit as hard
as like Silicon Valley or something.
I did a joke about how exposed brick I love, and like, if you have exposed brick in your apartment, I will fuck you. And in LA, they were like, a crack den? And I'm like, it's expensive in the East Coast, bitch. But this is the secret. So comics, you have your like hour that you're practicing when you're headlining around the country, but then you have your like home base in the city where you do 15 minute spots where you practice your new jokes. So I'm at the Stand, which is in Union Square, which is where I do my like practice spots during the week, and it's really cute. There's like a great place to get drinks. You guys are welcome whenever to hang. Also, you can meet like kind of the up and coming comics in the city, do some, you know, scouting for future future podcasts.
I love going to comedy shows. They're like it's my one of my favorite like date nights in New York that I've just I feel like it's such a good date idea.
And I also see you guys like you guys are comedians in your own
we're
mind.
Not but I we're, wish I was but I will never I will never label myself as a comedian because then I could just be funny, right? It's like it's like oh, she's funny, you know what I mean? But I'm not quote unquote trying to be
as soon as you start calling yourself a comedian, we got she's a gonna problem. Be like no, she's not fucking funny.
Once then all of a sudden it's like, oh, she thinks she's so funny. It's like, once you put it say I'm trying to be funny
in your Instagram bio once it is.
Well, that's why we like we're so clear with our live shows. We were like, we are not stand-up comedians. Like, we are going to do our show like live.
And then you're just like, whoops, I guess I'm just naturally funny.
Like, we don't have bits.
I do think that it's funny when you can some people I think are way funnier in person. But like because who knows what happened in my childhood? I need that like every night external validation of even if it's 10 people being like, you're funny. So I'm like a full at night. I have to do it. So you guys are a little more grounded for whatever reason. So I'm proud of you guys.
Yeah. Okay. I just throw my jokes around here and those people laugh.
Occasional tweets.
Right, right.
Yes. Yes.
Well, but really, some likes.
Yes.
That'll do.
Every day you guys are like finding
she's
a bit
really
and an
gotten
angle.
To, she's also really gotten into being a little jokester on her close friends on Instagram.
Ooh.
That's
her. I got to add you to that.
My close friends that's is her where new, that's her new thing. That's right. When she tells people how she really feels and see what reaction
and then,
she gets.
But then you have your close friends being like, ha ha ha, and you're like, that's even better.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I started, I didn't want to be a stand up. I was just the one in the group chat that always kind of killed.
Yeah.
You know, always like, got the ha ha.
Yeah, like I got that. I was like, see it back and forth, and I'm like, I'm about to slam dunk this. So I just try to make my friends laugh all the time. And then I was like, I'm really good at making my friends laugh over text. And that's why I feel like the girls that come to our shows, I don't give a fuck if certain people think I'm funny. Mm. Honestly, when some people think I'm funny, I'm like, I have to reevaluate myself.
Yeah.
But when the girls that come to our shows think I'm funny, it makes me feel like it's a friend. Yeah. Like making you guys laugh. Like it's a similar perspective of stuff. But
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, so you're traveling so much. What's like the relationship stuff.
Oh
like,
my god, good question.
Like, I feel like, where's Des? Is he with you? Is he not with you?
Good question. Des and I have a funny relationship because he's also doing spots in the city at night at the Cellar.
Okay.
So we have like different home bases. So we don't have dinner together ever because we have our spots start around 7 o'clock maybe. So we wake him in the morning. He wakes up at 6 a.m. Like,
that's tough.
Oh, we can talk about that for hours.
Yeah.
Then 9 o'clock.
Morning sex or no?
I like morning sex. Sorry, but what's morning? Oh yeah, she believe me, she's been through worse. She's so desensitized.
Yeah.
So by 9 o'clock, he's like, I've been up for 3 hours. I've walked around the block. I've had coffee. Yeah. What are you doing? So then we'll go to brunch. That's like our date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we like do podcasts, whatever. We have kind of. I always thought I was gonna be with someone who's different than me, like a shy guy who just like lets me shine. But then you get bored of them after 6 months sometimes if they're not like really their own person.
Unfunny guys are just not good to be around.
That's why everyone's like, how could Kim be with Pete? And I'm like, stand-up male comics have fucked the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. So Des and I are kind of doing the same thing, so we don't it's like I traveled the West Coast and he went to Ireland for a little tour. So we just like call each other at whatever time zone worked and be like, how were your shows?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're kind of just in it together. Yeah. We're in the same mindset. And also we were.
I feel like that kind of works.
Mm-hmm. It
more
works
than
in
like
that,
if he was in some different job, like in New York in an office and like you're doing shows on the West Coast. And like
it's like he gets
you guys,
it.
You guys can relate to it. And it's like,
exactly. And we're going through the same shit. Mm-hmm. So no one feels left out. Like I'm having this crazy experience that he's missing out on. He's having the same experience. Right. He's it's been it's been nice because we've been on top of each other since we met. We met in quarantine.
Yeah.
We spent so much time together. Mm. So it's this new thing of like missing each other.
Right.
And also it wasn't easy like 5-6 months into a relationship having like a TV show air where like he was involved too.
Right.
So like it was hard for us to go through because we were, you know, 6 months ahead in our lives. And then to have to like relive some shit. It's like, oh my, and I know that's the generic thing. Like, I don't want to relive it.
Yeah.
But you're having to talk about it and stuff. So now we're enjoying like the calm after the storm where we can now like date again and not be asked about our relationship so much. It is hard being in the public eye with it. And I think ultimately he's sober. He's 45. We're getting married in May. And ooh. I think I have good energy around me to like protect what I care about. Like, I have no privacy, but I realized why privacy is sometimes important just to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And to, like, for example, you have a plant, you want to water it, you can't like have tons of people playing with it all the time.
Right
It's a weird analogy, but you
I definitely get what you're saying.
You're like, how's the plant growing?
Are you getting married in New York?
We're getting married in West Hampton.
Oh, so nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so it should be nice. I have a wedding planning meeting today, which
is crazy.
Look
at you go. Look at you go. Yeah, mom's here. Yeah.
I know. So it's an interesting journey, but now I'm just going on separate rants, but I've been working on this thing I saw on TikTok of like focusing on decentering your life from men. I feel like a lot of times, like, it's trained in us that, like, the man is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be Cher right now, but I really feel like it's so important to, like, not have everything relate to a guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get caught in that because it's what society said, where everyone's, like, so excited about the wedding and stuff. And I'm like, it's literally, like, a nice side thing that I'm happy I have someone supporting me on my journey. Mm, but I was whole before it. And I was a mess before it. And now I just have someone to go through it with me.
It's not the only thing you're thinking about until May.
Exactly. It's, and also, like, he didn't solve any of my problems. Like, I'm literally the same person, but I just have someone who chose to, like, be a part of it with me.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening, be like, I wish I was engaged. It's like, you're the same thing. It's just you have someone there, which is nice sometimes, but it doesn't change who you are.
Yeah, definitely. The Giggly Squad shows looked... so fun.
They do look so much fun.
We tried really hard on Instagram to make it look really
I was like, these pictures are great.
Well, you guys looked great. Two, like, I feel like that crowd is very similar to our crowd. I feel like of going to like a podcast taping or whatever, live podcast, whatever you want to call it. How was your prep with Paige? Because I feel like it's so different because Paige is obviously not a stand-up comedian, but you are. So it's like, is Paige like, Hannah, you can't go up there and start doing your whole stand-up thing. Like, I got to be a part of this show too.
Okay, great question. I did message her and I was like, because during the summer, we learned the WAP dance. And we were doing it all the time. We had bruises on our knees, but we didn't nail it, but we like finished, we knew how to do it. And I was like, Paige, it'd be epic if we did the WAP dance. And she was like, absolutely not. So I was like, okay, we have to get on the same page with this show.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you guys the secret of how we do Giggly Squad. We have one note in our phones, a shared note. And throughout the week, we put a note. So I don't even know what it's going to be about, but she'll write just like a generic thing, like boxer briefs or like something. And then we'll just go off on Giggly Squad. So I realized, how could our show be, you know, so structured, stand up? Right. So I don't do any stand up in it. We have a nice like PowerPoint where we give ourselves the general things to talk about. We do the stuff we normally like call back to, like we do like a see you in court segment. Mm-hmm. But Paige is so Paige. She was like, I have hair and makeup ready for us. And I was like, anything else? And she's like, I got hair and makeup. And I'm like, amazing. So we get to the place and I have like the keynote PowerPoint I made and it won't convert into the Dell computer. And I'm freaking the fuck out. And like, there's people waiting already. And Paige is like on her phone. She's like, our makeup looks so fucking good though. Like, she has no worry in the world. No worry in the world. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like cursing people. I'm calling like Apple repair shops. We make it work. She's cool as a cucumber. And then we start drinking espresso martinis And I'm drinking a little, and she's pouring mine into hers throughout the show. And then at some point, you know, when you know your friend, like one of their eyes is kind of going a different direction. Yeah, I'm like, oh, we're about to lose Paige.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is so high functioning drunk. Mm-hmm. She was getting funnier and funnier. And I was just letting her monologue and go. And then the next day, I realized she
fairly high functioning drunk.
You
I think.
Are, yeah.
It's almost dangerous when it you is. Are. Because I get sleepy and I'm not funny anymore. And people are like, go home. Paige didn't remember the meet and greet.
That's
after
amazing.
The show.
No, so people were like asking her to go to their wedding, and she's like 100% DM me, like making. She's going to yoga with someone in
she
the morning.
So many promises.
She got so drunk, and then the next show, she was like, "No, like she had to take an IV in the morning."
I don't really remember leaving the Encore on Sunday night.
We were in Boston Sunday like night. Fran told us we were in the Borgata in Atlantic City 1,000 times.
Like I was like, really "No,
we're fully not in Atlantic City." Like, she's like, "No, we're in Atlantic City."
My mind could not wrap around the fact that there was like. And a giant hotel casino that looked like the Borgata, but just in Boston.
I know when...
Like, I was like, how could this be here? How I did not know this existed.
I know Fran's fucked up when she's, like, really laughing at things I'm saying. Because, like, I was in the car
not
and I was
normal,
like...
Not like, no, snicker.
Like, she was cracking up. I was like, Fran, we're not in Atlantic City. We're actually at the Atlantis Bahamas. And she started dying. It wasn't even funny. Like,
I don't
she
even,
was, like,
I don't
crouched
recall.
Over laughing so hard.
I don't
she was,
recall
like,
that at
she was,
all,
like,
actually.
We're in the Bahamas? Like, yeah, we're in the Bahamas. And she was, like, out the window laughing so hard. I was like, this is great. Like I'm like sober right now, just watching Fran just fucked up.
I was convinced so Adele was proposed to during her special.
She told me a million times.
We didn't watch a special,
a
obviously.
A million times.
And I'm seeing all these headlines. It's like Adele's special, like there's this
she's
surprise
like, engaged,
Adele's
Rhea.
Special, like surprise proposal. I'm like, oh my God, her fucking agent boyfriend proposed during the live show, like freaking out. Meanwhile, it was just two normal people who like got engaged, like and Adele sang.
A million times.
And it was
I
great.
Heard.
It was beautiful, but I was like, on the way home, I was
she's
like, I can't believe it. Adele is engaged.
No, she all night, she's like, Adele's engaged. And I didn't even care. I was like, cool. Like, Adele's engaged. Like, that's awesome.
Good. We're
also,
not going to have a good, sad album for years.
I was like, Fran, before we went out, I was like, Fran, I want to go home right after the show. I'm really tired. Like, I'm so tired. Can we please go home after the show? Like, she's like, yeah, absolutely. We're going to go home immediately. We're going home at 9:30. Show ends. She's screaming at me in front of everyone. She's like, we have to go out. Yeah. We have to go out. I was
have
like,
to.
We didn't. You didn't make us do this after our live shows. Like, what's going on right now? I was like, oh, Fran. Let's
it
go.
It feels way different doing someone else's show than your, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the doing our own show, there was so much anticipation. Mm-hmm. And then after, like, yes, I feel like I crashed, like, every time. I was like, I'm so tired. Doing someone else's show, I was like, says a walk in the park. I'm just drinking
you just have to
wine.
React and drink.
All you
fun.
Have to do is just sit there and
sit there,
have them
answer
talk
questions.
To you.
Exactly.
And at the end, I was like, "Yeah, I'll go to the fucking Encore."
She was gonna get a tattoo. I was like, "What is happening right now?" Like, I don't know.
I was down for all.
She looked at me. She goes,
"All possibilities."
She goes, like this, she goes, role reversal. I was like, what? She was freaking me out, but I liked it.
Paige, we got in. We're so happy. People were in our green room, and Paige goes to the bathroom, and she's in there for like 10, 15 minutes, and people are asking me, like, is she okay? And I'm like, yeah. And I know she's puking. Like,
yeah.
And then afterwards, I'm like, were you puking? She's like, no. Which means she did. Yeah. Next morning, she goes, dude, I think I fell in the bathroom and just lied there and started laughing for 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what kind of journey did you have last night that I wasn't a part of?
That's the
but
best
when you're performing
by yourself.
In front of everyone, we're drinking, and she kind of felt like we're just drinking with all our friends.
Yeah.
And then she was performing, so I wasn't mad. I was like, girl, go off, sis.
Yeah. You lose yourself.
You lose yourself.
Well, we
got
to come to one
moment.
Of those shows, and we got to get to one of your shows.
Yeah, we'd love to have
we
you.
Can. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my
today.
God. Thanks.
So happy to have you back.
Thank
oh, we
you.
Feel like in a different light.
Yeah, and I do also just want to throw out there for the people listening that Paige was our guest at our New York live show, and Hannah was also invited.
Yes.
I just want to make that clear.
Let's make that very clear. Hannah was too
Paige
busy,
not
us.
Hannah.
I was so mad. I wasn't.
I just wanted to first clarify, you know, you were invited.
Yes.
I appreciate that. What happened is I had a show scheduled before COVID in Tampa, and then we've moved it like 5 times, and then I was like, we have to move it for chicks, and they were like, this
we
is
can't.
Not going to happen. And I was already in Orlando, but I was so jealous of how fucking amazing energy it was. But Paige had a good main character moment, I'm not gonna lie. Like, she looked gorgeous
she
that
did,
night.
She did.
And
she did.
I'm really proud of you guys for going on the road.
Thank you. We're excited to do it again.
Yeah, I can't wait, and I'll be a part of it eventually.
Yeah, you definitely.
I'll break into a show.
Definitely.
You're like, you're not invited to this one. And I'm like, let's go.
Be our surprise guest, but surprise us.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Like, we won't plan it. You just show up at one of the shows. That would be perfect.
Amazing, amazing. Oh boy,
thank you so much for coming in. Yeah, we do. We have to wrap up.
Sorry, Chatty Cathy's.
Thank you so much for coming. Tell everyone where they can follow you. All the shows they can listen to.
Yeah, go to hannahbrand.com. I am going to Boston. I'm going to be in Maryland.
Check out the Encore.
Check out the Borgata Encore.
Cool place.
And yeah, follow me across the board at Being Burns. Listen to Burning in Hell, Googly Squad. Thanks for having me on Chicks in the Room. Yeah.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope you guys have a great weekend. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. I feel like I haven't said that in a little while, so make sure you do that. We love you, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.